Hey everyone, welcome back to the Introspect podcast, where we take a deep dive into topics related to energy, our emotions, conscious creation, spirituality, and personal transformation. I'm back again for episode 3 with my lovely partner in crime, Tammy.
Hi.
And today we're going to be taking a deep, authentic dive into the topic of unlocking your emotional superpowers. So this is a topic that's been really, again, relevant for both of our inner transformation and growth throughout our life. Yeah. And we've each had our own unique takes and different life experiences right up to the stage before we met each other.
Yeah. And still.
And still.
It yep. carries on.
And we're co-creating together to yeah. create brand new versions and experiences and opportunities to learn and grow.
Yeah.
So today we want to cover what is our emotions, what's the true purpose outside of what we've been taught, more related to an energetic and a spiritual purpose behind them, and also through laying a new foundational groundwork, how we can use this understanding and this framework to actually create empowerment and no longer treat our emotions as if they are some form of
something bad
experience or something that we're the victim of or something that we can't shift and grow through.
Yeah, something that we have to wallow in.
Yeah. So so here we go. Let's take a dive. So first let's kick off by talking about the power of our emotions and what they're truly about.
Yeah.
Okay, so through most of my teenagehood years and all the way through the 20s and 30s, especially being hypersensitive and really empathic, I didn't understand the power of emotions, but it was always working against me in a negative way. Mm. I couldn't get out of my cycles of anxiety, of depression, of neediness, of doubt, fear, and lack of self-worth. And also, as we touched on in the last episode, I didn't understand that every emotion actually had a frequency related to it. And I didn't have many friends. I didn't have a big social group of friends. I only had basically myself and my direct relationship that I was in. And so, yeah, I didn't really have anyone to bounce these ideas off or to be taught or shown about this deeper learning. So it's been a long process of sort of 20 plus years of emotional inner transformation, but it's one that I'm really glad that I kept showing up for.
Yeah. We kind of learnt the hard way, didn't we?
We did. We took the really, as of most of our topics, we took the scenic route.
Yeah.
And we chose, I think, on a soul level. Because at the end of the day, we're a soul having a physical human experience. So this is an experiential journey. Mm. So I believe that even though through really probably too many years at times of keeping ourselves stuck and bound in these processes or programs and beliefs, it still has had an amazing impact on our lives because we loved growing, we loved learning, and we loved self-discovery.
Yeah, totally.
So once we honored that journey and stopped sacrificing ourselves in our own journey and our own emotions for the greater good of someone else or for someone else's expectations of us, especially our parents, right? How many of you listening right now have had beliefs and expectations and programs that have been passed down from parents and that we've been trying to live up to or totally. Trying to give more or do more or be more in order to be enough for someone.
Yeah. And then realizing that it's just never going to be enough because it's not real. It's theirs.
Mm.
We need to live for ourselves.
Yeah.
So
this is a whole journey, isn't it? Like understanding that we're not here to regurgitate someone else's journey. Like even we have had the groundwork laid through our lineage and through ancestors and through different lifetimes, but we're here to live our fullest expression in this now moment.
This is evolution.
Yeah.
Right? We won't evolve if we don't make change. And every child that is born changes the way that they were taught from their parents. Some don't, I guess. Some, regurgitate the same patterns and beliefs. And then, but eventually there's someone in the family that stops that and says, actually, I'm going to do it differently. And that's when evolution starts.
So welcome forward. Put your hands up now if you're the black sheep or if you're the one that decided to go through.
The weird one in the family.
Yeah, the weirdo, the space kitty, the one that challenged every single belief and system and control mechanism that their parents tried to pass on to them. Yeah. Or the one that didn't want to be at church or as part of your cultural system.
The one that didn't want to be at school.
Yeah.
The one that didn't want to work in an office.
Yeah. So this is for all the freaks and the weirdos out there. We're here to say, like, straight off, it's time to own your light. Mm. It's time to own your authenticity. We do not need more regurgitators in this shift to 5D consciousness. This is requiring us all to wake up on an individual level.
Yeah.
And to understand that we are the conduits or the channels of light, grounding our deeper emotion, deeper awareness, and our ability to break lineage programs and belief systems.
We need game changers.
Game changers, y'all.
Way showers.
Yep.
Light leaders.
Yep. So even like, let's like just even think about that on a deeper level. Let's not just look, even if you're listening to this and you're like, and you might like love and appreciate something that we've been talking about or who, where we might be at on our journey. We all look for inspirational people.
Mm.
So, you know, even when you're on social media and stuff like that, who are we following? What are we absorbing? Are we looking to people that bring us up and make us feel better in our emotions? Or is our social media triggering us into a lower vibrational contractionary state?
Yeah, into that comparison or that judgment or, you know, and I guess that's, I mean, even I've had to deal with this with social media because it's a real thing of being triggered. The emotional response of looking at somebody else and, you know, how they're portraying their life and then the judgment and the comparison and then realizing and going inwards and going, okay, why, you know, why am I judging this person? Where am I judging myself on this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, always coming back within.
Mm. So this leads us into our whole topic, right? So let's go into our emotions and clarify and set a brand new framework on what our emotions truly are as a sensory GPS, our ultimate
navigational system. Yeah. Okay. Our emotions are totally our navigational system.
So what do you mean by that?
So they are, and actually I pulled a card out of our relationships oracle deck this morning and got sensitivity, which was perfect for this topic. And these are some words that I picked out of the words that the book had. So our emotions are energy in motion. Therefore, they can help us move energy, dissolve energetic blocks, and make new energetic connections. So it's easy to get sucked into our emotions. And so we need to learn how to observe the world, including ourselves, with sensitivity, discernment, and compassion, and to observe without attachment and feel without being consumed by our emotions. So, taking the heaviness out of emotions, essentially.
Mm.
I don't know, for someone who was highly emotional, and I still am highly emotional, but I'm not out of control emotional, which is what I would have placed myself 10 years ago. Is just like, yeah, totally. One, you know, extremely that way or extremely that way, like no, very rarely in the middle. And so our sensitivity and emotions can be a valuable tool to fine-tune our awareness and, you know, of the subtle aspects of the world. And then we can train by focusing our attention inward and become aware of the sensations inside of us and in what area to determine how to navigate this situation. So I mean, the body's talking to us in real time with our emotions, and yeah, like we've got it all inside of us. We don't need to look outside to figure this stuff out.
So this is basically formed, like the way that Tammy and I even attracted each other and even on our consciousness, we have been encouraging each other to love our emotions. Like every time each one of us would hit our trigger, it didn't matter whether sometimes it'd be topic about, I need to work hard, I need to run the program, if there's not enough money, I'm not enough, body, physically, sexuality wise, we would hold this space for each other and then just allow each other to reflect a deeper truth of like, this is what I see, like you are beautiful enough. actually it's okay, you know, even if we're like in the middle of intimacy and we crack down one of us, it's okay. Just stop and feel that instead of forcing something like what might have been the previous experience with a whole lot of a loaded emotions.
Oh, dude, it was so, it's been so, well, it's not new for me now because we've been doing it for long enough, but it was so new for me. Mm. I was like, what is this? What is this? You know, what is this guy holding space for me to allow me to feel this, you know, without being called crazy or nuts because I'm like being emotional or because I'm crying or, yeah.
Cool.
So cool.
So like, I mean, for Tammy and I have talked quite deeply about this topic many times and comparing the similarities between us, we've both had times when we've been told too emotional, we're too sensitive, you know, you always let your emotions get in the way, you know, or even as a male, growing up in New Zealand, running all the stereotypes of like harden up, no pain, no gain. We're basically like, you know, we've been the same as what females have been delivered this stereotypical body image of what it means to be this beautiful model or these beautiful divine feminine figures that are perfect in their bodies and their form. And I should look like this and I should look like that. And then there's all the porn industry on top of that. The same with guys. Like, you know, guys have been like, if you're a sensitive guy growing up in New Zealand, then it's pretty much like, oh, yeah, don't feel. Like, you know, oh, like, don't feel your emotions, just get on with it. Like, you know, you've got things to do. You've got no time to waste in this shit. So that was kind of like, for me, my whole life, I just stayed in a repressive heat, basically.
Yeah.
I could not get out of this deep, dark bucket that felt bottomless.
Yeah.
And because I felt that way, every experience and relationship felt just basically reflected that because that was my belief. I was sending it out into the universe and therefore I need to attract exactly what's on that vibration and frequency. So I would attract things that would make me feel even less than or even less secure about my body or even more insecure about speaking my truth or trusting myself. I would just attract and attract and attract and then, you know, that leads on. You hold the energy for long enough, you eventually get sick. You get unwell in your body. You manifest disharmony, disease within the body. So this is the whole point of understanding what are our emotions really about. They're not this kind of teenage drama romance bullshit that was sold on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, especially to our kids now. They're not that whole, that idealistic thing of like, oh, you know, like, yeah, we've just split. Let's go have all these beers at the pub. And but even watching Friends, right? We're watching Friends episodes and this is like every time they hit it, oh, yeah, Rachel's got another wine. Joey's got another beer. You know, and we're taught and we're sold this idea of let's numb.
Yeah.
Let's numb these emotions. Let's not feel them. Let's not go into them. You numb them and switch them off. And that is the kryptonite for empaths and sensitives.
Yeah.
It basically blocks down, compartmentalizes and shuts down our own guidance system. So the whole journey that we're going through is we learn, it is for our highest and greatest good. We learn through all of these challenges to fully disconnect and shut down, only to reach rock bottom.
To then open up.
Yeah, to then reestablish and we have to let that tower crumble and it crumbles not once, but probably many times. But eventually you will hit the rock bottom of everything that is no longer in alignment and no longer serving you. And I feel like this year has been a big rock bottom moment for 2020 because this was the energy that had to come through not only individually but collectively.
Yeah, well, collectively, even with the planetary movement, is it's about truth coming to the surface, you know, and you can't, you just can't suppress it any longer. It needs to come forth. Yeah, I mean, I definitely shut down my emotions. I was extreme. I know, you know, I am an empath and I am extremely sensitive, and being in a relationship that was manipulative and controlling and dominating, I became, my energy got so depleted and I became so suppressed and scared to voice my opinion that I closed my heart, I shut down, I built up so many walls in the, you know, for survival, basically, I guess. And it's taken many years to break down And John's been doing a fine job breaking down those walls.
Yeah. It triggered every time though, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, but opening my heart again has been the most wondrous and glorious and amazing thing that I have ever done. And I mean, I'm actually getting emotional just thinking about it because, you know, all of those years that I shut down because it was too painful to feel so much negativity in my, you know, in my life.
And it's fun. It's interesting, isn't it? But not funny. It's interesting because when we look at it, if we can come, this is the, what we're going to talk about today, but if we can look at these relationships and these triggers, this is the whole point, right? Of understanding that someone else, if you're in a relationship or a dynamic or even at work or wherever it might be, we've got relationships all around us. Yeah. And if someone else is projected towards you, we have that opportunity to say, is my view of myself more important than what that person's view or opinion is of me?
Yeah.
Even if it's a partner or a husband or wife. Because until we can come to that level of questioning and discernment and understanding, actually, my inner love and my inner opinion and my inner self-worth is more important than that person, that's when we start reaching past the tipping point and start to rebuild and understand that our emotions have and always will be our greatest superpower.
Yeah.
And I am no longer going to let that person's opinion, their judgment, their control, their distrust, because at the end of the day, that is their own programs and their own soul lessons.
Yeah. I guess when you're in it, you know, well, I mean, I didn't know this stuff, so I didn't realize that, yeah, obviously. And yeah, neither did you. And, but over time and through getting so low, and actually for me, it became a fight or flight response. It got so bad that it was like, my body was like, you have to leave, you have to leave, you have to leave now, like right now. And there was so much anxiety even around that and depression. And but, you know, that was the start of me starting to change my inner navigational system. Because before that, I didn't have any, you know, it was all criticizing myself and just everything that had been projected on me, I was then took that as my belief system.
That's right.
Yeah, that I was crazy and that I was this and that and the other. So
even that process of understanding the energy dynamics and how someone's emotional energetic projection upon you, if you take their opinion or projection as your truth, then we will absorb it.
Yep.
And then when we absorb it, if that sits around or you go through enough fights in a week or enough cycles of disharmony or distrust or whatever it might be, then all of a sudden that becomes our belief.
Yep.
And then that belief is sent out into the universe and that's what's creating our reality.
Yep.
So if we're hitting a repeat cycle, which I very much did and you very much did, like, and I'm not talking a short amount of time, people,
yes, but
I'm talking like probably on a solid decade and a half of really serious, challenging, hard-hitting emotional relationships. That didn't mean that everything was negative about them. It just meant that my experience personally within that relationship and co-dynamic, I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
So same. Taking the blame and judgment off any partner or anyone that we've been with, they're all beautiful people in their own right.
Yep.
And they're all having their own soul experience from their perspective and their learnings and lessons. And I can speak about this now, coming through and learning all the gifts and the treasures that were within it. Whereas if I had talked about this, say 6 years ago, it would have been probably more blame, more projection, yeah, more like, how could they do that?
Yeah.
I can't believe they treated me in that way.
Yeah.
And that's coming from our wounded emotions, yeah, and our wounded inner child.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, forgiveness is like the gateway to,
yeah,
releasing, you know, all of that, because until we can release that, we're very much still stuck in that wounded state.
So many people right now can feel, it's just like, how the hell can I fix, I'm in this. Let's say you're right in this right now, and in this relationship or in this toxicity, and you're like, I can't forgive this person. It's just like, you cannot force forgiveness in that time and space.
No, you can't. It takes so much. It takes time and it takes a lot of love. Okay. You need to, yeah.
But looking back again, let's go back a little bit further.
Mm.
It actually took us to reach rock bottom or to go through a certain number of years and then had to come a choice. We actually had to choose to leave a dynamic, because basically if we had chose to stay in there, the cycle keeps repeating, right? You're either not learning or you're not understanding what is being shown to you in that moment or through that dynamic. So for both of us, we needed to let go of the rock of attachment that we were clinging to, of whatever that dream or whatever that idea or that thought or belief was, in order to go with the stream of life.
Yeah.
And then as you go down the stream, you start to, and you get out of the energy play or the drain, only then can you start to rebuild your vibration and understand what I have to, I can love myself. Even knowing that you can be lovable within yourself.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you're in it, you're at such a low point that you can't even get out of it because you're so drained or so depleted emotionally, energetically, and spiritually that you can't actually get out of that. So that's the thing. The key moment is reaching that cataclysmic event of I need to leave something, or I need to let go of something, or I need to let go of an idea because my expectations or me attaching to this idea of what I thought can and should be is not working for me any longer. And that's going to be really triggering. Like, there's going to be people out there hearing this right now and you'll be like, oh my God, I can't leave this. I can't leave my partner or my job.
Even different relationships, right? I mean, we're so bound by beliefs and, we just accept the emotional outbursts, or we accept the fights, or we accept whatever, whether it's with family members or, over controlling parents or whatever it may be. It's not always intimate relationships. And we need to be able to set up our own set of beliefs, what's ours and what's not ours, and actually go, okay, that's not my belief. So now is it time to be honest with yourself and look at these belief systems and actually decide if these belief systems are for your highest and greatest good. Are they serving you in your life? Or is it time to set a new belief system that is going to take you to who and where you want to be in your life?
So that self-awareness and honesty that you just mentioned, that's really important, isn't it? Because if we can't be honest with ourselves, or if we, let's, for example, we're saying we're ignoring our red flags or our intuitive hits, and this is a big topic as well, or a big component of this, is as we come into deeper self-awareness and learning and growth, we realize that it was actually when we ignored our red flags and our intuition and the intuitive hits and the guidance that was being given to us, that's when it leads to a rockier path.
So
we don't have to get there, you know what I mean? This is why I hope we reach people today.
Yeah.
We don't need to reach that bottom of the barrel moment. It was purely just the understanding that we didn't quite know the tools or how this whole game and structure worked, and even the relationship reflections.
Yeah. Well, the world's different now too. Like, there's so much more, information out there. Like, if you want to find out anything about anything, you can just Google it. And so, we didn't have that stuff. So now, and the energy moving through our solar system and our planet is lighter.
It's supporting change, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally supporting it, and it's supporting the manifesting power as well that we have.
So this is the key of the workshop that we're going to do on the 20th, but just before Christmas. This topic that we're discussing and starting to break down and identify the programs, understand where they've come from, the beliefs behind them, and also what is the opposite, or what is the new program and structure that we're going to install now before the end of the year, before the Christmas break, so that you can hit 2021 with a new set of structures and a new foundational belief system. So if some things have to crumble, so be it.
Yeah.
If some things need to have a new foundational pathway built, then that is what the purpose of that is. Yeah. So,
and we haven't always picked up these beliefs from parents. Like, sometimes we've picked them up from work colleagues or bosses, intimate partners and relationships and previous partners or whatever. A belief is just a thought process that's been held for long enough that it becomes a belief system.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, these thought processes are really negative and these belief systems are really negative, you know, and you, if you listen to the way that people talk and you listen to their language, you'll very clearly and very quickly understand what their belief systems are, because it all comes through, you know, language.
And also what areas, like, for example, this is the danger of comparison as well, because some people, let's say, might have it financially sorted. They might be really well off, nice homes, nice material wealth, but then emotionally they may be totally void and really struggling. Or some people might be super fit and healthy and building their body and strength, yet totally ignoring the emotional side that actually needs the repair, that needs the nurturing and care. So that we're, you know, we'll often go into our lives trying to create vices or distractions, or even keeping busy, saying I'm too busy and I can't stop. It's a self-sabotaging mechanism that's stopping you, or stopping each of us, from going inside and actually nurturing and loving that part that needs the help and care.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and everyone has their own story and their own perception of the world. And, yeah, so comparison is just, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and we need to stop doing it.
Cool.
Like now.
Like right now.
Like right now.
Okay, cool. So
can I? I just put my hand up like I'm in the classroom.
Hello, teacher.
Something I also wanted to touch on is the sensitivity to other people's emotions, which is, you know, if you're a sensitive person, this will be a very real thing for you, and you may not have linked the two things together. So you may, you know, bump into somebody in the street or meet somebody for the first time or walk into a shop and you'll feel an emotion, or you'll feel an emotion, whether it's a high vibey one or a low vibey one, whatever. But then you'll walk away from that meeting or walk out of that shop, or and you'll feel different. And so it's those moments that we need to observe from an awareness, you know, so that we can go, okay, what just happened in that situation? And why am I feeling like this now? Is this mine? No, we can release it. We can release, you know, because sometimes you can have a meeting with somebody and take on their emotions, feel like shit for the rest of the day, and then recreate and like manifest more shit feelings because you're feeling like that. So understanding that we have the power to release what is not ours is freaking massive. That was one of the biggest things for me, because, you know, especially when children are related with that, you know, like if you start the day and your child's woken up out of the wrong side of the bed, and, you know, that whirlwind's around the house, and so everybody kind of gets that dumped on them. And when we're a house of everybody sensitive, and that one person can go off to school, and they can probably change their mood quite swiftly, whereas all the sensitive ones are left feeling really bogged down, you know? And so we've gotten really good at being able to release that. But yeah, so that's something to definitely acknowledge and understand, that you have the power to release others' emotions.
So that is another, that's a really key component of talking about your emotions as your superpower and your guidance system. So in every single moment in real time, your emotions and your body and your energy will show you, was what I'm currently absorbing or experiencing, is this healthy for me? Is this good for me? Does this feel like shit to me? It will actually show you in real time. And this is what the beauty of is just being sensitive and empathic, is that's what I can use when someone speaks. They'll speak, they'll relay a story, or they'll bring up a topic, and I know instantly, okay, cool, this has gone back to mum or dad, or this has gone back to this person, or you've had some challenges with trust. Because there's so much energy in what we put out, and we're so sensitive. We're like highly tuned antennas. So when we, again, acknowledge that superpower, that being an empath and being super sensitive, means that you have an innate gift and a developed sensitivity that you can use in positive ways once we learn the boundaries and how to control it, and also having healthy energetic boundaries as well. So discernment was kind of like the point I was going with there, is using your emotional compass to discern, is that group of friends good for me or not? I'm going to this rave this weekend. Do I feel like this is my highest and greatest good, or is it my body telling me, oh, no, I'm not really feeling up to it? Yeah. So therefore, if I do go, you're going to be in a lower energetic state. You're going to be more open to everyone else's energy, and therefore you're going to absorb so much more of all of those energies around you as well. So, you know, that for both of us, it's been a really key learning.
Yeah. I can look back in my life and there were so many times when my body was saying, no, don't do that. Yeah. And I was like, you know, just switch it off and off I go. And of course, you know, I've had many experiences and no, I mean, not all of them. Some of them have turned out to be great experiences or, you know, great opportunities to learn. But yeah, if only I knew what I knew now. So, where else are we going to go?
So we've talked a lot generally about some stuff. Should we just break down some like quick tips to kind of look at the structure then?
Yeah.
Okay. So like right at the top is you had a trigger in your daily life. Have some awareness. Understand that it is a trigger. Your emotions are speaking to you and it's trying to communicate something with you. So let's say that your emotions are your communicator.
Yeah.
Okay. Step two is, this is one of my tips that I use. I ask my soul, or I start writing or I start journaling, and I say, okay, I saw that trigger. What is the belief that I'm holding around this? So for example, even us doing this podcast, there was times when we had a blocked up throat and a blocked up voice and throat chakra. We didn't step into it then because we had the fear of speaking up and speaking out about our lives and our deeper emotions and that. But as we're taking these opportunities to step into that fear, we realize that that false wall,
yeah,
there's gold on the other side.
Yeah.
So understanding that, like, if you do feel a fear and a discomfort, don't ignore it. Like, it's time to stop ignoring discomfort and using the discomfort and saying, okay, this uneasy feeling is an opportunity that I'm going to grow through.
Yeah, lean into it. And, you know, I mean, probably for the last 10 years, especially with my business, I made myself lean into that fear. And it has helped me every step of the way. And, you know, quite often I'll stop and look back at how far I've come because I have come from I was not even a quarter of the person that I am now. Like I was just so broken. And, you know, even though we say that you're never really broken, but I felt really broken.
Can we talk about that? Because this is the most, like, at the core root before anything else can shift and change, and this is the whole understanding of our soul as a beautiful source of love and light as well. When we understand that the thing that's breaking is our ego's identity and construct of what it is created around who you are, who you're meant to be, what looks like success, what looks like failure. I would love to communicate that with everyone now, that it's the ego's identity that is formed with you that we are breaking down. And so if we break that down through unconditional love and empowering someone, like, and that's what I see in the shifts in the sessions as well, by holding the vibration of that person, what I see within that person, their ultimate love, who they truly are, and I instantly can feel that's not your belief. That's totally not your belief. That's not your truth. You're not ugly. Your body is beautiful. Your mind is beautiful. And just holding that vibration, it enables either you or someone to come up to that vibration.
Yeah, totally.
Like, not stay down in the dumps, to come to raise to the opportunity of knowing that you are worthy and that you are all of this. And even, you know, Crystal yesterday, she stopped halfway through the session for a toilet break. And, you know, it was like she had that opportunity to look in the mirror and for the first time really connect with what everyone else around her probably sees. And it was so nice to see that rawness and the openness and vulnerability.
The emotion that came with that is just so, deeply honouring and beautiful.
So that beautiful soul's on with us next week as a continuation of that topic. We're going to bring her on as our first guest speaker.
Yay!
So honoured. Thank you.
So cool.
Okay, so coming down these steps, once we identify the triggers, we identify the belief that's behind them, then it's kind of like into who taught or showed us that belief. Is it someone that has been close to us? Because at the end of the day, on a soul learning lesson level, we come in under our parents with a certain amount of resonance of both their good and bad points, or unhealed points, I should say, instead of bad. And we have enough resonance or enough understanding that we are here to break those patterns and cycles as well. So we need enough similarity in order to come under our appearance, because it has to feel familiar. We can't have a too big a soul jump in between incarnations.
Yeah, but we can also, we can tweak beliefs, totally, can't we? So totally. We don't have to completely destroy a belief because that was somebody else's. We can take whatever part of that belief actually will serve us in our life, mm, and with it, you know, that will go along and match our values and, you know, who we are and what we, who we want to be in this world for ourselves and for the world. Yeah, so it's not, you know, it doesn't always have to be like we have to just completely shut off something. We can, God, we can create whatever the fuck we want. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, yeah, so you can make it whatever you want to be, as you know, for your highest and greatest good.
Mm. So that's a really good point, and that will just lead us into the next tip that I was going to create about this topic, is when we've gone through these challenges and traumas or losses or whatever it might be within, even just within this life experience, we have so much stuff in our energetic backpack. Like, every one of those experiences is kind of like a mix on Spotify, a playlist. And that playlist is associated with particular people, particular time, particular place. And that's why, you know, when we even hear a song,
oh,
we will instantly go back to the emotional memory of the time, the place, where we are. Are we camping? Are we with friends? Are we around the bonfire? Is it when we're going towards leaving a relationship? And that's what I mean. We all know that experience where we hit a song, it plays on the radio, you're thinking about someone, bam, it comes on, and then all of a sudden you get this flood of emotions and overwhelm. That's your body speaking in real time. That's a really good example of how our body communicates and what it's trying to show us, that there is a slice that is unhealed or stuck and trapped in that emotion or that memory or in that time that is now ready to heal. So
yeah, we quite often like laugh these situations off too, or we shut them down really quickly. You know, like if you're hear a song and you're amongst people, like you'll feel the emotions start bubbling, but then you'll just squash it down.
Yeah.
But this actually happened in the car
yesterday.
So John just happened to play a song. Like, he had no idea that it had any kind of inkling with my past or anything, but he played a song on, and I got really emotional, and I was just like, what is going on? And then I actually thought about the time that that song had played and what was going on, and so I told John, you know, about this situation, and it was actually the night before I got married. And yeah, it was a really, it was obviously, I was still holding a lot of emotion around that that moment in time, and it was really beautiful for John to be able to just, you know, say, this is really important. This is, you know, this is, and actually this is gold, because this is the stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said to you. This is gold. Yeah, you're like crying. You're trying to drive your car over the harbour bridge and you're like almost veering off the road. And this is awesome.
John's like, this is the stuff.
So yeah, I'm not an emotional sabotager. I always, like, it's just me. I'm so deep.
Yeah.
I'm so deep.
And actually, he then went on to play another song, and that also had another emotional response from me. And yeah, I didn't actually tell you, but we kind of parted ways throughout the day, and I went off to do a delivery, and so I was driving by myself, and I actually played both those songs back to myself, and I really let the tears rip.
Yeah.
And I really felt it, and I really honoured what it was that was coming up. So, yeah.
So it's interesting, because from my side of the fence, it was actually quite similar, because the same song represented my deepest, darkest time, where this particular song and the whole album was very resonant. I just kept listening over and over again. But that was when I'd left my marriage, and I'd already, I had my son Noah, was 2 years old, and I was trying to make my way into the unknown. And I had no money, no support, and I was in a really depressive place. And that meant that the energy that they sent out was also six, seven, 8 months of not really hearing from anyone, not friends, not family, because they all like, oh yeah, John's got himself, he's strong, he's independent. But I wasn't on the inside. On the outside, I had it all sorted within my technical skills, my abilities, my creativity, and the corporate environment that I worked in. But on the inside, I was going through one of the deepest dives and darkest nights of the soul that I'd had, especially around releasing guilt and shame and, you know, even religious beliefs around leaving marriages, stuff like that, and the judgment, like judgment. Mm. So it was a really important song for me and the one that followed it as well. But I knew, even looking in retrospect, the way I felt about that song, you know when you've healed through something, because there's the situation, there's the trigger that we've been talking about, there was the catalyst, there was the moment, there was the memory. But the way that I was feeling about that song was totally differently to the way that Tammy felt about the same song.
Yeah.
Both from our own unique perspectives, the same space in the car, but totally different vibrational understandings based on what we have experienced or healed or not healed.
Yeah.
And so this was really cool because this was also on the back of Tammy having a really itchy back of heart again and the back of neck. Mm-hmm. And we'd already done the same thing. I asked her, can you ask your body, who is this related to? Who's got the cords of attachments here? Or what is not being healed? And this, like, the ex came up. And so this is all just building. And I just see this pathway unfold. And it's beautiful. And so that's why I'm like, honor this.
Yeah.
Because this is all the stuff that your soul is trying to bring up for you to show love and light and integrate and nourish and nurture. And when we shine and turn a light on in that dark place, there is no darkness.
No.
We understand that polarity of light and dark is the yin and yang and the male and female energy that just keeps our cycles growing, and we honor it as like a bit of fuel for our next fire.
Yeah, yeah. And actually something that I've come to realize, and I kind of know this, but then sometimes I revert back to, you know, like, oh, why is this taking so long? You know, why are there so many layers? And, you know, but I just was thinking when you were talking then, you know, like, a 12-year relationship that's been completely so intertwined, you know, children and marriage and homes and whatever else and building businesses and all of the stuff. And it's been 5 years out of that relationship. And, you know, like we need to allow ourselves the time and the space to let the healing come up as it needs to come up. Nothing is going to just disappear like that.
Mm.
It's not, you know, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
No.
In truth, when you look, when you start to learn to take yourself out of the heavy 3D ground level of the situation, and as we start to raise our vibration and expand our conscious awareness, it's almost like you're looking like from the eagle standpoint or on the top of a mountain down upon yourself on the ground level. But you're looking at it something way more expansive and way more connected. So it's just like we learn to start to see our soul from that perspective. And as we raise our vibration, all of that next knowledge and learning and growth and information comes through to you. You're no longer stuck in the insecurity and the lack of self-worth and the I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, I'll never find someone.
Yeah.
This is all I'm going to attract. This is all I'm worth. The whole life experiences comes back home into your heart and soul for the integration. And when you integrate, you break through that glass ceiling layer by layer by layer. And this can happen on a daily level. This can happen on a month, a year, or sometimes a decade. Some cycles are not always quick.
Yeah, yeah. I was smiling like an egg at you just then because when you use the eagle, when I was listening to those songs, while I was driving, because I was out Pies Par, I was watching an eagle flying, and you just reminded me of that. And I did have that perspective, like, you know, this is, just a completely different perspective of the emotions that were coming up.
It's cool, love, isn't nature. It? So even the synchronicity, so I get that every single session, every single combo I have, if I bump into someone, I will just download and say something. I won't even know why. I won't even second guess it.
And it'll be
I'll give that example, and that will provide a synchronicity to someone to be like, whoa, that's the second or third time someone's just said that or mentioned that book or told me that there's some unhealed, like whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's what's gold.
It's always on point.
We're always creating together. This is what we need to understand. We're not separate. We're all connected on some level
unified, as
part of this beautiful soul group.
Yeah.
And this is the flow. When you understand that level of synchronicities that we are consciously creating, life gets real fun. No more victimhood, no more I'm not enough. We really step into engaging this emotional superpower.
Totally. Okay, we went off a little
bit. It's cool, but it's all important because our real life example so that people can understand that we are having this human experience and we have been through many layers of shit to get here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So is there any other important...
Yeah, I think in honour of the full moon tonight and the fact that I'm on my moon cycle, which is always very... It likes to time itself just perfectly when things are coming up. This is a real honouring time when we can, you know, like when we're on our monthly cycle and we have the same emotion that came up on our last monthly cycle and the one before that and the one before that and the one before that. So I went through years of having these emotional outbursts every time I got my period and going through the, getting told that I was crazy and, you know, oh, not this again, you know, we went through this last month, why don't you just leave it, you know, and like suppressing it only for it to come up the next month. And, you know, I just wasn't obviously getting it, but that was my emotional navigational system saying this is coming up for a reason. This is coming up to be dealt with, to be, to be really looked into and acknowledged. And for so many years, I just wasn't aware of that. And now when things come up, I actually look forward to, you know, my monthly cycle. And sometimes when nothing comes up, I'm like, okay.
I'm not as broken as what I thought it was.
But, you know, obviously it's a beautiful thing, but I actually feel like it's a beautiful thing when things do come up because they come up so intensely that it's like this beautiful, like, wow, this is another layer that I've got to release. And I'm excited about that because I know how it feels on the other side of that release and how, just freaking cool. Beautiful it is.
So that's a really good example. And the Wayne Dyer quote comes to mind, like when we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. Mm. So in other words, every experience, anything. It's not if the experience happens, it's how do we or how can we look at the situation from a different perspective? And often that is the pathway of release, transformation and healing.
Yeah, well, and also since I've been really honouring that, my PMS symptoms have pretty much like non-existent now. I don't get the pain with my periods that I used to. Like it's completely transformed my hormones. It's, you know, like this kind of healing goes so deep that you just, it's huge, massive, life-changing.
This is why I love what I do too, because I get to experience this for multiple hours a day with many clients in a week.
The transformation is just next level.
But even that, it's funny, right, because even if you had asked me a few years ago, John, you're going to be like having mainly female clients and you're going to be talking about endo, abortions, womb, loss of child, guilt and shame with an ovaries reproductive system. Like I just feel it and I feel these extreme differences and subtleties. But man, what a blessing. Like what a blessing to even be a guy and honouring my own sensitivities, but then using all of my own path and with you and the sharing and growing. Like I really honour and love where I'm at. And it brings my emotional connection into tears and it makes it all worth it when you can really connect on a deeper level, because you know in that space you're probably generally, if someone's come to me, they're probably going to be recalibrating some form of distrust or some challenge or some past life trauma with some really controlling ex or whatever it might be to do with male energy. And this is the gift, like by honoring my path and by being like, no, I don't have to go to the gym, I don't have to show up and do all these tough man shit things be part of the rugby team or whatever it might be. Yeah, I really love this. And I love also the sensitive guys that are coming through as well that are awakening and having way more connected heart space conversations with the guys that are going to open up too.
Yeah.
So, for all the guys out there, totally honour yourself as well. Like, honour your sensitivities. Don't be afraid. If you don't find that communication within your group and friends, hit me up.
Yeah.
Flick me a text and, you know, get in touch. I'd love to chat with you.
This was one of my things on my list when I, before I met you.
On your shopping list.
My manifesting shopping list of the ultimate man for me. And it was somebody that loved animals and humans and wanted to make great change, or, you know, wanted to make the world a better place, because that was one of my values and that was what I wanted to do. And yeah, that's why I love you.
So in other words, we aligned. Yeah. We came to greater asking, because whenever we go through situations when we experience what we don't like, we then know exactly, if we look at the opposite, if it's a split page, this is what I'm feeling, this is the emotion, this is the trigger. What's the opposite of that now?
Yeah.
Cool. This is going on my shopping list. This is my list of my Santa list, of conscious creation. And that's what I mean. It's not outside of us. We are choosing. And we lined up like Christmas.
Yeah.
Right next door to each other. Jumping the fence. It was such a far journey to go. But it all lined up in momentous ways. And so yeah, I'm really blessed with that as well.
Also, I wanted to talk about because, you know, our emotional the sensitivities are not just our emotional sensitivities, but, you know, our sensitivities to light and sound and touch and scent, which is also something that we very much embody. Like scent is a huge one for me, and it is John as well.
All of the above that you just mentioned.
Yeah. But scent's been a really strong one for me throughout my whole life. And, you know, like, I'm really big on my essential oils and I work with flowers, so obviously I'm amongst those smells every day as well. But just honoring that, like, not kind of dismissing anything anymore. Become really observant and really aware of every little detail, every touch, every scent, every smell,
So basically what you're saying is, coming back to, we are energy, everything around us is energy. Everything, like even colour, it has a frequency, it has a vibration. Sound, music, a song, orchestra. We're all, like Deepak talks about, we're part of this greater symphony. We're all our own unique, individually sounding and toning kind of instrument that has our own energetic input and qualities and values into this greater symphony. Like, we're all part of this great masterpiece. And same within our lifetimes. This is how I like to explain it, is every lifetime is a little piece of our beautiful masterpiece. Like, in every time we go through a life experience, we add some more variation and color and deeper levels of contrast of dark and light and different experiences, but it's building towards a greater whole that is just ever expanding. And that's just in our personal journey, but then we're collective on a greater soul and family level, and that's part of, then it expands a bit more of the painting. And then on a collective level. So this is this, but that painting's never static.
It's never done, you know. We're always becoming. So even honoring that, you know, that
There's no time limit.
No, there's no time limit. And it's not a one fix wonder. It's not, you know, just one cycle of, like, you know, deep, dark tears. Like, there are definitely, it's an ongoing process. And yeah, we just, I mean, I love it. I love the process. It's beautiful because, you know, the joy that you feel when you crack through things is just amazing.
Can I just quickly talk about how I've personally transformed my hypersensitivity into a superpower?
Absolutely.
Within my own life. So I hadn't started Introspeak before Tammy, and Tammy was the bridge and the gateway of inspiration to say, John, you can do this. So when I was hitting my triggers and my emotional pitfalls and the speed bumps, I had many breakdown tears, like, as in, I took a few years to cross over from my 3D visualization work into Introspeak. I'd had many signs, many cues, many dreams, many signs of my guides working with me, even in terms of physical body manifestations of my palms peeling as I'd be dreaming about healing with my hands for like 8 months solid. My palms were peeling. So basically, I finally woke up and said within myself, I'd had enough. I said, I was on the beach and I said, if it, universe, like, I've had enough, I'm done. I am ready for something new, and this is what I want in my life. This is what I want to create. I'm no longer willing to put up with feeling like a victim. I'm no longer willing to show up onto this beach and have my day ruined in tears. I now choose of my own conscious creation, of my own command, that I am ready to activate and ready to be shown the tools and the pathways. And that came through many different forms and books and pieces of knowledge and information. And the synchronicity started to unfold through my own intention. So what was my burden my whole life of hypersensitivity? I started just showing up in my room and just started saying, what can I do? What's a tool that I can do to use my sensitivities? If I believe that I'm the creator and I believe that this is a superpower, how can I use this? So piece by piece by piece, like one client would come and she would have just learned or done a workshop on doing little aura charts. And she's like, John, can I do your aura chart? And she brought a sheet along and she started coloring. And I'm like, thank you, universe. I want that tool. And my thing related to my own way. So then I started coloring charts and body charts and just following, not second guessing, keeping out of my ego, and just following. Oh, yep, I'm kind of around their hips and I'm shading in their reproductive system. Yep, there's definitely some binds on their throat and there's some stuff around their ankles and feet. Okay. I'm like, then all of a sudden my ego stepped in and be like, John, you can't talk to this person about sexual abuse. What if they haven't had sexual abuse? Or what if they can't? What if they're really good at speaking their truth? Yeah. And so I still had this constant ego play, trying to doubt myself. But every time I stepped in through that fear and past the wall, I realized through the play of clients that came through and the perfect unfolding, they showed me that I was on the path and that I could trust in my greater subtle sensitivities.
Yeah.
And then came past life regression books, then came the Akashic Record books. So I was just like, thanks, universe. Even before COVID, 2 days before COVID, Tammy brings home another book of another healing modality called crystal dreaming. And I realized that I was already starting to step into these things. And then that book started introducing things like the karmic court, aliens, reptoids, hexes, curses, spells, and how all of these energetic things exist within the higher realms. And I knew it was my truth. And so I was like, thank you, universe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So going into that analogy, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Trust the path. You don't need to know where and how and why or what it even looks like. I did not know how introspect was going to look like. I did not know that I was going to be diving into past lives. I did not know I was going to be dealing with my greatest fears, or childhood fears of aliens, UFOs, and demonic presences.
Yeah.
But now through love and unconditional love, more often than not, we're actually diving into these lifetimes now, shining love, having really positive communications.
And actually helping these beings.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as I'm going to share one of the exorcism, like down on a further podcast, or I might even get that person on. I've got the testimonial about it, but I just haven't shared yet because I just wanted to get this ground level stuff laid first.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some awesome stuff. And when you shine love and turn on the light in those dark places and understand that even toxic energies or demonic presences and that sort of thing, they've come out of a collective consciousness of thought. And they're trying to release and recalibrate and learn and grow as well. They've had a dark experience. They've been placed there somehow or through their own choices. So, you know, let that greater collective consciousness, let the awareness of that like reflect inside as well, because we're each coming through that, we're each shining light on, like we've all got our own inner demons.
Yeah, totally. Well, it's the light and the dark. I mean, it's the balance, it's the pure balance. You can't have one without the other, and it's accepting that and honoring that. And yeah, totally. And I like your being, you know, being in your sessions and being able to drop the ego and just come from a place of pure unconditional love. And, you know, connection to source is such a superpower. That's just incredible.
Okay. And this is the thing. Unlocking that superpower, like that is my sole goal. I am not here to heal anyone. I'm here to show them the pathway of unlocking their own gifts. And that's why the introspect like motto, like the unlocking power, the power within. This is our awakening, everyone. Like this is our shift between 4 to 5D consciousness, is unlocking that our power is not outside of us, it's inside of us. And when we honor the emotion and our guidance of what it's saying, so our emotions are saying, Are you in alignment, John or Tammy, right now?
Mm.
Or is your emotional separation and disconnection so far off on the scenic path in the weeds?
Mm.
So that's pretty much the root cause of all anxiety and depression and energetic uprising.
Disconnected from self.
Yeah. So how far off? Yep.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, I had the you know, the most I've probably felt that was because I became very connected after, you know, leaving my marriage and whatnot. And the first guy that I was with was really loving and beautiful. And I was able to find myself again, and I became connected to myself again. And even though that didn't work out, I then went into a relationship where I actually completely changed who I was. And I got so far away from myself that I got to the point where I broke up with him because I didn't even mean to. It just spilled out of my mouth. And I had this heavy feeling, just like, you must leave. But yeah, and what I really recognized was that disconnection from myself. And, you know, I had stopped using all my essential oils, which were like a daily ritual for me. And, you know, all of my beliefs and everything, I let them all drop for this guy. And that disconnection had created, all my anxiety had come back. I was shaky all the time. I was panicky. I was just not even myself. And yeah, when you've done the work and gotten to a point, and then you reverted back, although like each relationship was definitely for learning. And, you know, I absolutely love and light to each one of these guys for being teachers in their own right for me, and hopefully, you know, me teaching them too. But yeah, that absolutely, anxiety is disconnection from self.
Mm. So that like, again, back to listening to the body.
Mm.
And this was building over quite a long few, and it was interesting because being next door, I could actually feel energy. Like, this is before I was even with Tammy, already knew her. I never even introduced myself to her, but I knew her energy felt amazing, and I knew that the energy that was around her did not feel like her energy.
Yeah.
Energetically.
Yeah.
Like, but again, taking the learning and the lessons from them, like coming through now and seeing the blessings of what each of those people and relationships taught you
100%.
On a greater soul level is amazing. Like, irreplaceable.
Yeah.
It's all experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 So, okay, shall we, let's round this up now, because we've talked a lot about, and we've shared experiences and that sort of thing. So now let's finish on some tips. So would you like to share, have you got some tips that you'd like, because you just mentioned essential oils.
Yeah.
So let's do your on the ground, real practical, applicable tips of what this means to not only honor your emotions, but start to develop them into something that has become a gift.
Yeah. So I definitely do use essential oils. I always have them in my handbag, car, just about every room in the house, everywhere. So, and if I do feel like a really intense emotion, I will use an essential oil to try and just relieve a little bit, like not to, you know, squander it away and not feel it, but just to make it a little bit easier to acknowledge. Taking naps is something that you've taught me
that.
A couple of years ago, I was like, there's no way I can take a nap in the middle of the day. You're freaking crazy. And now I'm just like, take me to the bed.
So that one right there, everyone out there that has time shortage consciousness, and by that I mean, oh, no, I'm already running late. I don't have enough time. My work looks this busy. My day's this busy. I've got everything planned a week in advance or a year in advance. This is for you.
Present moment.
That gift, because remember, like Lord Abraham Hicks talks about with law of attraction, to stop momentum, one of the only ways that we can stop momentum when the train's going the completely wrong way, loaded up with a whole lot of carriages, is we need to stop the momentum of conscious thought.
So that's if you're consumed in the emotion,
take a nap. Nap, people, nap. It's not, it's a superpower. It's not defeat. Like, even if it's on the beach, on the towel for like 20 minutes, like a micro nap, you will come out feeling better off knowing that you have stopped the train of thought and momentum that was not going in the right direction.
You can start choosing the positive. And meditation is the same, right?
Yeah. So meditation and exercise, and they're both one and the same. Like, we find meditation, like, all going up mountain, really relaxing.
Exercise is great for releasing, you know, like, especially if I feel an emotion bubbling, and I'm not quite sure what it is, I'll go up the mount, and by the time I get to the top, I know exactly what it is and I've released it.
Mm.
And it can happen as quick as that. But, you know, if you don't, if you can feel something bubbling and you don't honor it and you just carry on busy, 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 and, you know, like it just gets bigger.
Yeah.
It just gets bigger and bigger, yeah.
And the purpose, so really just to clearly explain on an energetic vibrational level, the solution to your problem is not on the same vibration. They're different radio frequencies.
Mm.
So if you hold yourself, or you stay in work, or you stay in that fight or argument or the environment or whatever is making you unhappy, you will not find the answer in that moment. So that was a really beautiful analogy of the mount and raising your vibration and altitude.
Mm.
Because by the time you get there, it's actually the absence or the letting go of the resistance. And by getting into an environment that pleases your soul, you allow the resistance to go, and then the answer is always there. So Abraham, again, clearly speaks about whenever you have the problem, the rocket or the solution rocket is already launched. It's already there waiting.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get there from the low vibration. Yeah. You need to retune or allow whatever it is to fall away.
And that, you know, being where we are in New Zealand and having that beautiful mountain that we can get there at altitude so quickly is just such an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. So even talking about like finding your environment, so what we're saying is identify where you feel most at peace, where you feel the most love. Is it around nature? Is it around the ocean? Is it the bush? Is it reading a book in the sun in your favorite spot?
Your happy place.
So we need to take the time to identify, like even right now, just write in a journal, identify which are the top few things that bring you the most happiness, so that when you hit the low point, you already have this knowledge and wisdom of what are my top three, or even doing a cookie jar of filling that with positive things in a positive moment. And then when you're feeling like shit, reach into the cookie jar and just do something that's pulled out, and don't second guess it. Know your soul is going to grab the right one.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so, and by finding your good environment, you're obviously stepping out of the environment that is not working for you as well.
Yeah, so you're finding your drain environment
So, okay, so for me, probably just rounding up on a final tip, Bluetooth headphones. Listening to something like I Am Meditations or a good thought leader or someone that has a positive vibration in their transmission or communications. Words have energy, teaching has energy. So finding the people that really bring you amazing energy or really good I Am affirmations, and then go do something that is subconscious, like sitting, laying on the beach, walking on the beach. That was my tip, like my master key again, from my completely negative, toxic, perfectionistic mind. So hitting my low, low point like 7 years ago, that's what I did every day. I would just go, I was felt like rock bottom. Mm. I felt all the emotions. I was not enough. I wasn't good enough. I had a little guilt and shame about choosing to have a abortion, like with that second child that was on the way. So for me, I had a lot of forgiveness, a lot of soul healing. And that was what got me through. By listening to I Am affirmations, I didn't realize at the time, but that's, I do now.
So powerful.
It's a subconscious reprogram of you doing an activity that is also subconscious, even driving.
Driving is one for me. I love driving, and, you know, I'm really thankful that my work allows me to drive often. And, I know my dad's thing is driving, and probably my brother's too. We're a bit of a driving family. Yeah. But it's definitely, because it is such an autopilot thing that we do. Like, obviously, I pay attention to the road.
Sometimes.
If I'm not.
Apart from when a certain song comes on.
On the side of the road as well. No, but it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Subconscious place.
And finally, rounding up, like now, I find that I need to do way less protection daily, even in my sessions.
Yeah.
Whereas in my integration phase, you wouldn't catch me a day without wearing a crystal or having heaps of crystals in my pocket, my necklaces, and I would just choose based on color, vibration, and just what I felt was right on that day. If I was blocked in my throat, I would go straight for like blue lace agate or lapis lazuli, or anything within that blue vibration. Or if I needed heart healing, it was very much around like
greenstone,
azurite. So there's a whole kingdom of crystals out there and all the healers.
Yeah, actually, I haven't actually put crystals in my brow for a long time.
You haven't been packing.
It used to be a daily. No, but that's true, because I used to be very...
I'm just feeling how many people are laughing at this right now, knowing they're packing crystals in their bar or their pockets.
Which is totally cool, and
Yeah,
I did it for a long time, and I guess I just haven't felt like I've needed to. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the protection isn't needed to be, But then some days I'll go out and I will, feel something of somebody else's, and then I'll be like, ooh, should have protected myself.
It's funny, because on that note too, there was key moments where I had a reliance on crystals.
Mm.
Or on a vice. So even as I was going through my spiritual journey, be mindful of those little vices. Sometimes your necklace will fall off and break. Sometimes you'll lose a crystal. Sometimes it will fall out of your pocket or out of your car and just shatter.
Mm.
Take that as a sign from the universe, and just ask, am I building a vice on that, or is that crystal and that learning and the information contained within that, has that had its purpose in this moment and I no longer need it? Because I've switched and changed and lost a lot of crystals over my time.
Yeah.
But it's not because I was clumsy. It was actually because they'd served their purpose and I'd got the learning from them, and they'd held that space for me during that time and space.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you look out for those little vices, and I know some of you are coming for the sessions and you've lost specific ones that you've really loved, but I know that it's all a gift.
And it allows us to release that attachment. Attachment to things. Yeah.
Amazingness. So I think we'll finish it there. That was a beautiful combo. We got to where we needed to go, and just trust wherever you are. You don't need to know the whole story moving forward. Don't be present. Don't be any further than really today, or just softly and gently into this next week if it feels positive for you.
Mm.
Like, stay present as much as possible, because the real-time emotions and knowledge and wisdom is in your now moment.
Yeah.
Cool?
Yes.
Okay, signing off, lots of love and light. If this topic resonated with you, and everything about the emotions, the beliefs, honouring, then we're going to be diving into this on the 30th workshop at Mount Yoga. 20th of December, Mount Yoga, on a Sunday.
Yeah.
4-hour workshop.
Yeah, and we'll be putting that up on our socials soon. And
next week, joining us on Monday,
Crystal from her podcast is The Elevated Self. And if you haven't listened to it, I would suggest you do, because it's amazing.
She's amazing.
She is a young, beautiful beacon of light for this world. And really looking forward to the combos that are going to come out of that next Monday.
Thanks so much, Crystal. And thank you for the session yesterday. It was amazing.
Awesome. Have a beautiful week, people.
Okay, see ya.